You're listening to the Cross Brand Sunday Morning Service on HLE Radio. Now here is Pastor Mike Morrow with today's message.
Good morning. It's good to see you, brother. I didn't get to see him before church this morning. I was in an elders meeting. We are excited about the next 3 weeks. You have heard Dr. David Dykes before. If you don't know a little bit about him, he's a great author. He was a great pastor. Now, he's not pastoring full-time right now. However, he did pastor for, I guess, 2 decades at Green Acres. Three decades. Yeah. Three. No wonder you're so tired. Oh, bless you. It's going to be a great 3 weeks. So let's give Dr. David Dykes a big Cross Brand welcome.
Howdy. Great to be back with you guys again. My wife and I really loved our experience here we had with you a few weeks ago. And I just love the atmosphere of this church. And I'm excited about our study. In the 90s, I wrote a book about angels. So today, we're going to talk about the mystery of God's angels. Next Sunday, the ministry of God's angels. And on May 25, the message of God's angels. And I'll also be bringing some of my books to purchase on May 25th. So, the mystery of God's angels. You know, there's a lot of facts and there's a lot of fiction. But there's a lot of folklore that people believe as being truth about angels. And so I want to clear some of that up today. So if you have your Bible, you can just read it on the screen. Look at Hebrews 1, 13 and 14. The writer is talking about the supremacy of Jesus. He said, to which of the angels did God ever say, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet? Well, he said that of Jesus, but so he said that about no angel. And then he gives us, I think, the best one sentence definition of who angels are and what they do. Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? God sent angels to us to minister to us and to serve us. Now, there's a lot of, like I say, a lot of strange ideas about angels. I've discovered that when it comes to angels, people are usually in 2 categories. One, they are just absolutely ignorant. The other side is there's an unhealthy obsession. So there's a lot of secular papers and magazines that have written articles about angels, not from a biblical standpoint, but from like a New Age standpoint. Like this, Joyce Berg runs the Angel Museum in Beloit, Wisconsin, and there's Sophie Burnham wrote a book called A Book of Angels. You know, I went to a Southern Baptist college for 4 years, a Southern Baptist seminary for 8 years, and I never once heard a lesson taught on angels. Never read one page in a textbook about angels. And I grew up in a Southern Baptist church, like maybe some of you did, or evangelical church, and I never heard one message, one sermon about angels. So that's what we're going to talk about today, to try to clear up a lot of these fantasies. So here is angel fiction number one. Angels are human beings who have died. I think that's the biggest mistake a lot of people make. The biblical fact, angels are spiritual beings created by God. In Colossians 1:6, I think I misspelled it on the screen. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers. And then these 2 words, rulers or authorities, have to do with the ranks of angels. All things were created by him and for him. And so Hollywood has probably been the worst purveyor of false information about angels. How many of you watched the movie It's a Wonderful Life at least once? Yeah. You know, and Henry Travers plays Clarence Oddbody, an angel sent to rescue George Bailey, who was played by Jimmy Stewart, to earn his wings. That's just totally separate from what the Bible teaches about angels. And there's been other movies too. Every Christmas, my wife enjoys watching The Bishop's Wife, where Cary Grant is a pretty good-looking angel. And then there was a movie called Michael, starring John Travolta. So Hollywood has really put a lot of information out there, but it is false information. You know, Billy Graham wrote a book, Angels, Angels, Angels. This was when he was doing Decision Magazine, and every week he would answer questions. And one week he got a question letter. My nephew was only 3 months old when he died recently. My sister says he is now an angel. Is that true? I love Billy Graham's answer. I know your sister was sincere, and I respect her sorrow and her desire to remember and honor her son, but no, we don't become angels when we die and go to heaven. The truth is, when we die and go to heaven, we become even greater than the angels. The angels are spiritual beings who were created by God to be his servants, and God has given them the great authority and power to do his will. And at the present time, the angels are greater than we are because God made us a little lower than the angels. But the Bible says that in heaven, we will be higher than the angels. And the reason is because we will be like Christ. The Bible says, do you not know that we will judge angels? Here's the second angel fiction. Angels appear as chubby babies with wings. Truth is, most often, angels most often appear as ordinary men. In 1960, Sam Cooke recorded a song, Cupid, draw back your bow and let your arrow go straight to my lover's heart for me. So all these songs and Hollywood popular thoughts about angels, they're so far from the biblical truth. Now, so we tend to think that all angels have wings, but that's not true. Only some angels have wings. The cherubim on the top of the Ark of the Covenant that was in Jerusalem, they have four wings, because Ezekiel tells us that the cherubim have four wings. Then in Isaiah chapter 6, we read about the seraphim, and each had six wings. With two, he covered his face, and with two, he covered his feet, and with two, he flew. So these are two kinds of angels that have wings, seraphim and cherubim. By the way, the word cherub is singular. But when you make it plural, in Hebrew, it's cherubim. A seraph is singular, but when you add plural, it becomes seraphim. So there's all different kinds of angels in the Bible. The cherubim, the seraphim, they have wings. There is the archangel. Now, John Milton, when he wrote Paradise Lost, said there were two archangels, Gabriel and Michael, but there's only one archangel. And then all the rest we would just call the holy angels. I sometimes call them ordinary angels, but there's nothing ordinary about them. And a lot of times in the Bible, when somebody is encountering angels, they appear just to be normal men. Genesis 18, Abraham was visited by three angels, and they appeared as ordinary young men. He didn't recognize them as angels until after they had gone. Gideon was called by an angel. This angel called him and said, "The Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor." And Gideon said, "Who, me? That can't be me. I'm the weakest link in my tribe." But angels are very active in the Old Testament. Here's angel fiction number three. Angels are sweet creatures who sing and play harps. The biblical fact is angels appear most often as warriors connecting swords. I remember years ago when I was preaching on this, I was talking about how angels are warriors, and a guy came up to me afterwards and he said, "Did you say angels are lawyers?" No, not at all. Angels are warriors. So we learn about these cherubim at the garden, at the gate of the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve were driven out. He drove the man out and stationed the cherubim and the flaming, whirling sword east of the Garden of Eden to guard the way to the tree of life. And there are lots of angel warriors. In fact, God is called the Lord of hosts 235 times. And you know what host means? It means Lord of the angel armies. And so there's a mighty angel army. This is pretty amazing. In 2 Kings 19:35, we read that one angel killed 185,000 Assyrian soldiers in one night. That's pretty amazing. One night, 185,000. And if you remember, when Jesus was in the garden, he told Peter to put away his sword. He said, "Don't you know I could call down 12 legions of angels?" That's 72,000 angels. But we ought to thank God that he did not call down those angels and went to the cross to die for us. All right, here's a question a lot of people are surprised to find out. Do angels sing? You say, well, of course they sing. Well, years ago, back in the 80s and 90s, when I was reading W.A. Crystal's commentary on Revelation, he wrote in his commentary that angels do not sing. And I said, of course they sing. And so I started going through the Bible, finding every passage where it says the angels sang. And when I studied the original Greek, it doesn't say they sang. It says they spoke. For instance, at the birth of Jesus, suddenly there was a multitude of the heavenly hosts with the angels praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to the people he favors." Have you ever heard anybody say, "Boy, she sings like an angel"? Well, the angels are probably saying, "I wish I could sing like a saint." Because, you know, I don't think angels understand what it is to be lost and redeemed. Because it says in 1 Peter 1:12, concerning salvation, when they spoke of the things that have now been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, even angels long to look into these things. So every time in the Bible it speaks of angels praising, they are chanting praise or speaking praise. And here is angel fiction number 4. Angel fiction number 4, all angels are good and obey God. The truth of the matter is some angels are evil and oppose God. So here's a little Bible trivia. How many angels are named in the Bible? Anybody want to guess? Michael? Gabriel? One more. Lucifer. Those are the only three angels that are named in the Bible. And if any of you are tea sippers, you know, when they say the eyes of Texas are upon you, and they say till Gabriel blows his horn, he's not the one blowing the horn. It's the voice of the archangel. So there are not many named in the Bible, but there are a lot of angels who play prominent roles. And Satan experienced sort of a double demotion. Back in prehistory, Isaiah 14 talks about Lucifer saying, "I will ascend and be like the Most High. I will set my throne up with God." He had an ego problem, and God said, "No, you're not going up, you're going down, down, down." And he kicked him out of his position there. But then in the book of Revelation, it speaks of another rebellion of the angels. Then war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. The dragon and his angels also fought. But he could not prevail, and there was no place for them in heaven any longer. So the great red dragon was thrown out, the ancient serpent, who's called the devil and Satan, the one who deceives the whole world. He is thrown to earth, and his angels with him. And we believe that's going to be happening during the future, during the tribulation. I taught Revelation here a few weeks ago. But right now, according to the book of Job, Lucifer still has access to the presence of God. Because it was Lucifer that said to God, "Have you considered my servant Job?" And Lucifer said, "Well, hey, you know, you've blessed him, but you take away all of his blessings, he'll curse your face and curse you to your face and die." And God said, "No, he won't." And then that's the story of Job. So Satan still has access, I guess, to interact with God. But in Revelation, that access will be lost as well. It's also interesting to know that what Jesus said about hell, then he will also say to those on the left, "Depart from me, you are accursed, into the eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." Did you know that hell was never created for human habitation? It was created for the devil and his angels. But we do know they're going to take some people there with them. All right, angel fiction number 5. Angels must be seen to be real. But the fact is, angels are usually invisible unless God allows us to see them. I remember years ago I heard it. Funny story about a pastor. He was in his study and he was studying about angels. And he said, "God, I really would like to see an angel. Could you just really bring me an angel and let me see him?" And so poof, there was an angel. And this was long before iPhones or anything. So he took his little camera that had a flash and took some pictures there of the angel and then took it down to the drugstore to have it developed. And when the pictures came out, there was nothing there. It was just blank. The moral of that story is the spirit was willing, but the flash was weak. All right, this is what we're going to be talking about, really. Have you ever seen an angel? Well, you can't really say, "No, I haven't." Because the Bible says in Hebrews 13:2, "Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some people have entertained angels without knowing it." So you might have had an angel encounter and just did not recognize it. I think one of the reasons that angels just aren't more visible is because if you remember what John did in the Revelation when the angel was escorting him around heaven, he fell down and tried to worship the angel. And he said, "No, don't worship me, worship God only." So I think God only allows certain times and places where angels are visible. But angels do a lot of different things, including protecting us. And maybe you might not have even known you were being protected. "For he will give his angels orders concerning you to protect you in all your ways. They will support you with their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." There's a great story in the Old Testament, 2 Kings 6, where Elisha has his servant there, and they're surrounded in the valley by the Aramean army, outnumbered. And the servant was really upset and afraid, and Elisha said, "Don't worry, they that be with us are more than they that be with them." And I can just see the servant going, 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And then Elisha prayed this prayer, "Lord, let him see the angels." And God opened his eyes and he saw that the hills around the valley were filled with chariots of fire and horses. So sometimes God will say, "I'll open your eyes so that you can see angels." One thing I'm going to be doing in this study is sharing several true, what I believe to be true, angel encounters that weren't in the Bible, more modern times, and in my book, Angels Really Do Exist. I have a number of those. For instance, when I was a pastor in the Birmingham area, when I was first writing this book, I asked people in the church to send me stories where they thought they might have had an encounter with an angel. And so this lady in Birmingham said she was downtown Birmingham. She was parallel parked between two cars, couldn't get out. She heard a lot of commotion behind her, and there was a gunshot. And a robber was running down the street. And her window was open, and the robber stuck the gun inside the window at her and said, "I'm taking over this car. Click, click, click." But when his gun didn't go off, he turned to run, and the police caught him. And she figured he must have been out of bullets. But as the policeman interviewed her, they said that there were 6 bullets in his pistol. One was been discharged, and the other bullets were unfired. The policeman said, "Lady, you are the luckiest woman I know." She said, "Sir, luck had nothing to do with it." She believed that God's angels were there to protect her. What really got me interested in the angel topic was because years ago, Billy Graham wrote an excellent book called Angels, Angels, Angels. And in this book, he relates the true story of missionary John Pollock and his family who were serving in the New Hebrides Islands. That's in the South Pacific at a place now called Vanuatu. There was a cannibalistic tribe on the island, and they were hostile to them, and they were threatening to attack them. So that night, while John Pollock and his wife were in their hut, just the two of them, he heard that the tribal leaders were coming to kill them and even eat them. But all night long they prayed, and they never came. So years later, after John Pollock had learned the language and the tribal chief had become a Christian, Pollock asked, "Hey, we've always wondered why on that first night when you surrounded us with your spears, why didn't you attack?" The chief said, "Where did you get all those men?" Pollock replied, "It was only my wife and me." The chief said, "Oh no. All that evening we saw many large men with swords in their hands surrounding your hut. So we were afraid, so we never attacked." So yes, angels are still active around us. You know, as we continue our study next week, we'll be talking about the ministry of angels. What do they do to us? And one question some people have is, you know, why aren't we aware more of angels around us? Well, when it comes to the animal kingdom, our perception is very limited. If you know what I mean, a dog could be in this room and he could know the unique odor of every single person there. We can't do that. An eagle has microscopic, telescopic sight, can see things that we don't have that. And even like whales have ultrasonic sounds they can hear, elephants, ultrasonic sounds. So our range of perception is limited. So sometimes that's the reason why. But what I encourage you to do is look around you. Look for God's angels. And if you have an angel story that you think happened, then write to me. Pastor Mike has my email address, and I'd like to add it to my collection. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for the way you send angels to protect us, to provide for us. And we thank you, Lord, that they are still supernaturally serving you, and they're sent to serve us as well. So, Lord, we don't want to focus on angels. We want to focus on Jesus. But I pray that you'll make us aware when the angels are there. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, David. Wonderful job. Let's let him know. Going to look forward to seeing him over the next 2 weeks. I'm going to ask our prayer partners to come down real quick. Don't leave me yet. Our prayer partners are coming down. Now, here's the thing. We heard about angels today, but in those scriptures, we heard a lot about us and our condition. God loves you. God has sent his angels to protect you. There's some of you here today, though, that you'll never be in a spot, unfortunately, to rule over the angels when we all get to heaven. And we don't want you to leave this building today if you are not going to heaven. I know we've got some visitors here today, but it's very important you understand a couple of things. One, God loves you so much. Two, we're in a mess. We're sinners by nature and sinners by choice. And the only solution is God's love, which is through Christ. And today, if you don't have a relationship with Him, a personal relationship, or maybe you've just got something going on and you want somebody to pray with you, come down and let them guys encourage you. But you can also, right where you're sitting, ask the Lord to forgive you and take over your life. That's being saved. Father, again, we thank you for David. Thank you for his gracious manner of teaching. He has been a faithful servant all these many years. I pray that you'll bless his household. And Father, again today, we thank you for our mamas. We thank you that, more importantly, that you love us so much that you want a relationship with us. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.
When I die, hallelujah.